This is a Venkast Studios production.
Yeah.
But would I be a good bouncer? Like, I'm confused.
No,
like, what's my role in a club? We're podcasting.
You'd be a great bouncer. I think you'd be a great bouncer.
Just by what? Why? What makes me a good bouncer? My personality?
No, you could stand there and mean mug. That's really what makes the sign of a great bouncer. It's not personality. Like, you'd be a great host, then.
Would I be a goat bouncer, though?
I don't even know what that means.
The greatest of all time.
Maybe. Maybe you could be.
Do you know a bunch of bouncers?
I don't know.
Can you bounce us off of bouncers?
I should be able to, but I can't. Not yet.
You don't know a guy?
I'm not.
I finally catch you in a moment of weakness?
Not knowing a guy? Maybe. Maybe. So, we should probably reset.
No.
Welcome. All right, it's just going to keep going. All right. Welcome. What day is it?
31.
Just keep this going?
Welcome.
Jesus Christ.
What did you say? Kelly Olynyk.
Welcome to day 31 of Riding the Pines NBA Playoff Podcast. I am Hondo, here with Guy. What's up, Guy?
We got an O-man.
An O-man.
In game 7 of an NBA Eastern Conference playoff matchup.
Oh, you gotta love that. Where the biggest game of the season for these teams, and the dude just doesn't even show up.
And Amir Johnson, man.
You know what?
Keep getting them checks.
It's not
putting them on.
It's not that unexpected. So
put them on wax.
I don't really feel that bad about it, but man, what a terrible, terrible time. Like, you could have taken the time, like, after game 7, you know, just to, like, you could have put up an old man on the beach or, you know, just gone to Cancun or something and just played some 3-on-3 or something and put up an old man. That would have been fine.
Even I made a shot yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah, take that, Amir Johnson.
Yeah, and take that for data.
Take that for data. You know what? We're going to go right into it. We have to go right into it. There's no other option. So we are going to go right into gameplay. So we are going to go. All right, so, you know, Guy, let's break down what happened in this game. This game was pretty fun, though. I think
was a great game.
It lived up to the hype of a good game 7, though, just because it's fairly close and it really doesn't get out of control until the fourth. So let's start on the Wizards side of the ball then. What's the most telling story here?
Okay, so the stage is set, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boston, Garden, bring everything you have because this is the last chance you'll have. If you lose, you're out. Go home.
And that's what I love about this period.
Scott Brooks was like, all right, I have a game plan set up. My top players, you're just going to play the whole game.
Sure.
I'm not going to run you out to the Bulls or anything. I'm just going to keep you in the game. I'm going to tire you out, and I'm going to have what Boston's strategy is, Boston's strength.
Whoa.
What Boston's strength is, which is all of their guards,
yeah,
to come at you one by one. And then we're just going to see what happens.
Yeah, because their guards can pick Boston's guards apart besides Thomas.
So I'm a little sarcastic because Beal and Wall are great, but Beal and Wall need a little bit of rest because there are 8 guards in this game going against Wall and Beal.
There's only 5 points off the bench for the Wizards.
Yeah.
Bogdanović has the only 5 points.
Yeah.
No one else, including Kelly Oubre Jr. That's unbelievable.
Right.
For a game like this.
Right. Like, my point is this. You ran Wall and Beal into the ground, and they had nothing left. It was so telling. Box score or not, it was so telling when you watch John Wall play. He was so passive. He was out of steam. He was getting bullied by Smart. He was getting bullied by Thomas. And Olynyk pick and rolls. Olynyk was shoving him, pushing him, getting him out of his rhythm. He's wearing down. You need to give him a spell. He's had 44 minutes, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So there better be a reason. There was no reason.
But, okay. But let's say you replayed this thing. Let's say you did this in a different fashion. Like, how many minutes would Wall I mean, Wall would still be playing a considerable amount of minutes.
Sure.
Wall and Beal have been playing a considerable amount of minutes throughout the entire season.
Yeah.
So what, you play him 38 or 40 instead of 44?
But I'm saying, man, like, use your timeouts. You spell the minutes, man. Like,
okay.
Do something.
Okay.
Because they were tired. They were exhausted. They had no legs. They weren't driving at all. All they were doing was jump shots.
Sure.
And John Wall's game is not 1-for-2 from the free throw line. John Wall's game is 8-for-9 or 9-for-10 or 10-for-11.
Yeah, take him inside and, you know, use your strength.
Yeah, okay. John Wall didn't get to the line. John Wall had a pretty good game, you know, 11 and 18 or 18 and 11, but he kind of shot himself in the foot because all eyes on him kind of in the moment, in the game seven, he wants that, you know, he wants the attention. He wants the praise because he's the dude. He's the man. He's the responsible one here in this regard.
Sure. He's tired, but he's not shooting that well. I agree fully with this,
okay,
this concept that you're saying that he's tired, but he's also not playing at his best in this thing.
Yeah. And it's okay. Everyone has.
Well, I contend it's not okay.
Well,
it's not okay. And whatever Brooks did to put them in that situation, that's not what should have happened for this game.
Right.
However, you're not playing your bench. You're exhausting your starters. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
It's really not that hard to conclude that they're going to lose this thing with that kind of play.
MVP of this game, besides the like the Linux explosion and IT's like double double and everything, was Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart was all over the boards, all over the defensive assignments, and he was pushing Beal out of rhythm. Beal went off in the first half, mm-hmm, right? Actually, more to the point, the first half was such a balanced attack by Washington. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm so pumped for the second half. I'm so ready. Like, keep doing what you're doing. You know, get Olynyk in foul trouble. Get some other people out of their game. And you got this game, you know, because I'm rooting for Washington because I just want something a little bit more meaningful.
I just wanted to root for a winner. So
that's why. I know. I've gotten everything wrong so far in the playoffs. So it's like, just don't. I mean, everything, every dollar I've thrown out, even, it's gone to someone else.
So break it down a little bit more on Boston's side. So besides Marcus Smart, Olynyk had one hell of a game here. He has 26 points, 10 for 14. I mean, you know, 4-for-5 from the line. He is playing some smart ball, and he's getting in the paint. The IT connection to Olynyk is a recipe for something greater to happen, I think.
Said by no one ever until tonight. I was excited because the first half by Washington was such a balanced attack. Look at the score, right? Morris, out of Porter. Everyone got on the board.
Yeah.
Like, Boston was kind of struggling outside of, like, the Al Horford dunk here and there and the, I think there was a couple lay-ins by Jay Crowder and a couple, you know, deep balls by Olynyk. They were kind of, like, struggling to get points.
Mm-hmm.
And then Olynyk just went off in the third quarter. Just kept everyone engaged. He was doing it all. And, like, this dude is going to get paid all of a sudden from this game. Because he's a four who can score from three or more.
The whole thing rhymes. I believe I can rhyme. You just brought Kelly Olynyk into an infomercial. This is the best.
Kelly Olynyk, man, was like, see these ice cubes, see these ice creams. He just put it on wax. He was just like, I'm done. I'm taking this game with me. Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk, Jaylen Brown. I can't believe I'm saying this. This is not a bench I would ever roll with. But these are hungry motherfuckers, man. Like, hungry, hungry hippos. Come on, man. Give me some.
You pointing at me, expecting me to say hippos? You know what? It's now the Eastern Conference Finals. You're pointing. I guess it'll work. I guess it'll work. Unbelievable. You know what? I just one player that I've really enjoyed watching, and he's gotten a lot more of my attention as the playoffs have gone on. That's Markieff Morris. I am a huge, huge fan.
Yeah.
Just the intensity that man brings to the game. And just like,
I would kill for someone like that on the Wolves, man. It'd be fun.
He's just a powerhouse. And
think about him and Dunn on the Wolves. Like, sorry for bringing them in there. But
oh,
like,
my God.
It'd be fun to see. Anyways, dude, Sorry. Dude,
kill all the slight vibe. Amnesia. Don't worry, it's a Monday. We're still getting in this thing.
He might be able to like play 48 minutes a game every game because he has a twin brother that's probably in the second in the backcourt.
Did you hear that the conspiracy theory where they'd switch they would each switch out?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that would fool no one.
What? Are you sure? That fooled me, man. He actually had a game tonight, you know? No, I think that's hilarious. And more to maybe come from that, you know, but because if Marcus Morris is out of a job because Detroit's that bad, maybe he might just kind of, you know,
just quickly swap out.
Pay the security guard a little dollar.
So I think it's fun. You know, the one thing that always kind of gets me going in a series like this is like you have that history with Boston and it's just like
it's great
towards this. Towards this time when you're playing those big games, Eastern Conference Finals, it's just like it spells back to basketball history, to basketball lore. And it's just like it's fun to kind of be around that.
And a whole bunch of white dudes winning meaningful games.
That is not what I said at all.
Well, the Kelly Olynyk, man, it just brought it back, right? The McHales and the Birds and
yeah. But it's yeah, that I mean
I'm just messing with you.
No.
But they were chanting Kelly. And that was kind of a cool moment because it's like, you know, you get engulfed or in, you know.
But what a way to like prove to your fans, to prove to your hometown that you're in this, that you're doing your best. And like to have one of your best games in a game like this at the level that they need to be playing at. Mm-hmm. I just think that's awesome. So I think it's fun, but this is really, really just a setup for really, really bad things to come.
Yeah, sure. Like, that team who shall not be named in this episode, right?
Yeah.
Eastern Conference Finals. Here we come. Like, guess what? We get to lose now. Anyways, I would say this is kind of damning to Washington. Like, congratulations on an amazing series, but you lost to Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah.
In Game 7. Every now and then, there's like this random hero, right? Like comes to play, like a Kareem Rush or Robert Horry or I can't believe I put those two together. I'm a salty Timberwolves fan, you know. I gotta say those random words. You know those random dudes that come to play and just have these like stupid anomaly games. Like, we love that word, anomaly. Anomaly the Pine, riding the anomaly. Coming to a theater near you where we just sit there and talk about
just obscure players who just come into existence. Yeah. It's really a mystery.
From the ether. From Slovenia. From Senegal. Does anyone Senegal? Do we have a Senegal bot in the house?
Senegal bot in the house. That'll be tagged in the episode.
Yeah. You know, they lost to Olynyk. Like they had Morris. I forgot his name. Markieff Morris and Marcin Gortat. They couldn't switch. They couldn't switch on him. So he just had free reign down low. And then when they were like, oh, shoot, let's pack the paint, he just shot the three. Like, how do you not defend that?
I don't know.
So, like, Washington, like, has some questions to be answered.
All right, so the hottest of the hot takes. What are the Wizards now going to do in the offseason to get prepared for next season?
Car wash. They need money, man. How are you going to do it?
That's the best answer you could have given.
How else could you do it? You can't go to like a Costco and be like, Girl Scout cookies. You can't go door to door asking, you know, hey, you want to buy some knives? I don't know, man. Black dudes in Washington, the D.C. area knives.
Car wash. Well, that's a great idea. But here's what I'm going to propose. I'm going to propose that Wall and Beal are in a buddy cop movie. Because buddy cop movies could do about easy 20 to 30 million. I think that can work.
Oh yeah, they have some time. The playoffs still last another 2, 3, or 4 months.
Yeah, so they have time to put it together. The script is already written somewhere in Hollywood.
So they can shoot, reshoot, and then reshoot, and then they still lose in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And then
finals.
They just add Martin Lawrence in there, and eventually
is he still around? What the hell?
I don't know.
Man, you are stuck in the 90s realm.
I am not. But I just say you add someone like that. That's a good $20 to $40 million. That's enough to add to this cap to really add some depth.
Does Morgan Freeman play God?
You know what? Oh, they don't have that kind of budget.
Do they? Okay. What's a hot take for the movie that they make though? Do they resurrect like Paul Walker or?
Oh gosh.
Do they make another Batman movie? within the movie. It's a movie about making a Batman movie.
Do they make a fake Batman movie?
Yeah.
They can't pay those type of royalties, man.
Oh, you're right. So they make up a superhero. And it can't be Uncle Drew.
It can't be Uncle Drew because that's not going to go over well with the NBA.
They make their own like trilogy of Space Jams, but it's just Space Second Rounds where they lose.
Is it really just called, it's like Space Dunks?
Space Dunks.
Because it can't be, you can't call it Space Jams.
And these dunks are woo.
What is the awful movie that Kevin Durant was in that we were talking about the other day?
Thunderstruck?
Oh, my God. Oh, that is bad.
Oh, that is bad. I don't know anything about the movie other than he was in a movie.
We'll watch it in the off season and give our full review.
Did he have a divot in that movie? I don't know.
I don't. Because
his head is like, you know, a flubbed golf hit, like putt or something, you know?
I have.
Damn you. You're supposed to finish my sentences. We're so close these days.
A flubbed golf.
I don't know what you do. What's a golf term? Swing the club?
A flubbed golf putt? Sometime in the offseason, I'm going to show Gi how to golf and maybe introduce him to some golfing terms. But you know, before that, we got some more basketball to watch. All right, so hot takes for the Wizards. What are the Celtics possibly going to do in the days? Kind of, well, they have a day. They have a day before they're going to get started with this Eastern Conference final on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So what do they do tomorrow? Just pray.
They're in those ice chambers, just freezing their everything. You know, getting those molecules slowed down.
That's the sound effects are killer there
for the Rihanna. You know, game one. I don't know, man. I don't want to talk about the series that we were supposed to not talk
about. No, we're not going to talk about the series. I'm just saying.
So I mentioned Rihanna.
What? Exactly. Exactly. That really helps everyone's cause here.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, let's move on then. Let's move on to talking about a game that doesn't need to be talked about very long. And that is Spurs and Wizards. Spurs and Wizards. Not happening.
All right. Back to you, Jim.
Spurs and Warriors game two. Kawhi is definitely out for this one. Pop is really mad. And
you know when we were talking about worst games of the week?
Yeah.
You know, those like best games, worst games. This is do not watch TV.
This is like an asterisk on this one.
Watch New Girl instead.
Watch the rerun of New Girl instead. Yeah.
Watch Dancing with Stars instead.
Oh. Have they actually had any basketball players on Dancing with Stars?
I would not be the one to know.
Why? I mean, I feel like you
I
might
thought
know.
You would have known.
No, I think you would have known because it would have been on Reddit sometime.
Oh.
Now, if they did, let's just hypothesize who might actually be dancing.
Well, who would need the publicity, you know? Who wants to be the star?
Wow.
Blake Griffin?
Oh, Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin?
No.
Damian Lillard.
Nope, Carmelo.
Carmelo. But he has no dance moves.
I don't think it matters.
He just lays on the floor.
I don't think it matters. It's a PR. It'd be a PR disaster if he turned it down.
Okay, Google. Have any NBA players been on Dancing with the Stars? Fuck no.
All right, well, that segment...
That segment what?
That segment's really more gas than that segment's more more gas than game two of this thing. All right, no, but let's continue on here. Any thoughts, any redemption for the Spurs going into game two?
No one else gets injured and then they win out, I guess. That's their strategy, right? Like they have to lose this game. Because I don't think they can win this game.
No, I don't think they can win this game, but they really can't afford to lose anybody else.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
So like, if they lose...
They
so,
win if they don't lose anyone else.
So Tony Parker's out. Kawhi's out. Wasn't there another...
Oh, Danny Green? I think he's fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Gee will actually learn how to use his phone sometime in the... Maybe 32 or 33.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, sorry about that, boys and girls and girls and boys and mostly all boys. I want to end with the whole idea of like the all eyes on me player, right?
Sure.
The John Wall, the general, who is the facilitator in this series.
Yeah.
The best player in the series. Bradley Beal, the best shooter in this series. Otto Porter, probably the best small forward in this series. I'm just straight up telling you the truth here.
Well, it doesn't matter. They still didn't win.
So. They still didn't win. Like, what do they do? I'm not sure. I think they put all of their eggs in the basket, in their basket, whichever that happened. You know, I don't know what that fucking means anymore. Easter's over. I'm telling you, like, they have no money, right? They have no money to, like, get anyone else.
Sure.
I don't think they can do, like, a huge trade. Does Gortat get you anything? I'm not sure. Does Marquise Morris? Maybe. But you probably want to keep a Morris.
He's a role player.
He's a great player in this team. He doesn't need the ball, but if he does, he produces. Like, the bench is decent, doesn't net you anything in return. I'm worried about this team because it's going to stay static, and they can't beat a Boston without, you know?
But can... No, here's the thing. They went to seven. They went to seven. If they retool, if they change some things, if they play a different style, can they actually beat Boston if they change it up?
If Wall shelves his ego just a little bit,
sure,
and plays the offense, pass more. Don't shoot like 30 times.
Sure.
Pass more. Otto Porter, best three-point shooter in this series. Sure. Otto Porter. Bradley Beal, the best shooting guard in the series. Give it to him. Pass to him. Don't let him initiate the offense because Bradley Beal's going to wear down. Okay. Get him in spot-up situations. Like more Morris, right? Morris is really good as the role player, and you can give him more shot attempts because he can shoot the 3-2.
So essentially what you're saying here is that even if they stay static, yes, but they play a different style game, they can play with Boston next year.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Okay. That's kind of what I was getting
because
at.
Because you're essentially saying that they can't, they're not able to make any changes given their budget. And yeah, so they can't do that, but they have the talent here. They're not going to get a lot of value for these extraneous players elsewhere. So it's like, they're going to be around to play. I think they should be happy with what they've achieved, but they have to retool and they have to be very serious about positioning themselves next season.
Yeah, they were crying. They were hugging each other as they were leaving. So it was a very emotional letdown for themselves. But yeah, they'll be back. I hope they'll be back at the same kind of pace. Maybe starting the season a little better than fucking 2-8.
Yeah, I mean, because we had basically written them off pretty early. So yeah, to come back, to go all the way deep into round two, to almost get to the Eastern Conference Finals from hardly being a contender at all, or hardly even thinking that they were going to make the playoffs early on,
yeah,
is...
It's commendable.
I think it's a pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's
new coach, new regime, everything.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good feeling.
You know, but it also... It also kind of leaves us in this situation, just kind of closing out this episode. We now have the ones and twos. It's like ones and twos. It's completely predictable.
Yeah.
Just in terms of what happened.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to wait and hear our hot takes, as that's going to end this episode.
Peace. Bye.
This has been a Venkast Studios production.